And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. Here he is, Michael Savage.
What's frustrated people is that I have not been able to force Congress to implement every aspect of what I said in 2008. Well, you know, it turns out that our founders designed a system that makes it more difficult to bring about change than I would like sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome back to the Savage Nation. There's been a concerted effort on the part of Obama, Ruth Bad Girl Bader Ginsburg, the head of the ACLU and now on the U.S. Supreme Court for too many years. And now the New York Times is chiming in saying that the Constitution is out of date. It's old. It guarantees a few rights. And that it's time to change the U.S. Constitution. Nothing that is done by Obama is done by himself. He has minions in the media, minions in the judicial, and minions elsewhere, which is, of course, okay. However, it's not okay when they go after our founding documents, especially the U.S. Constitution. As I said to you, this is the most important story you've ever probably heard in the history of your life. You have a president who is a dictator in the making. He'd like to be a full dictator without any powers, without freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to assembly. And he says so nakedly. He says, point blank, that he can't force Congress to do what he wants because the founding fathers designed a document, a system, that makes it difficult to bring about the change that he would like sometime without even understanding that they envisioned a petty dictator like him emerging in the American system. Without even understanding that it was a man like he that they feared would come to possess the presidency one day. And not to be outdone is the senile, virulent, far-left radical Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We played her speech last week, telling Egyptians not to look to the U.S. Constitution, but to look elsewhere, such as South Africa.
Savage. Michael Savage. A host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Then today it gets worse. New York Times runs a broadside against the Constitution. And I'm going to read it to you. They say that the Constitution has seen better days. Sure, it's the nation's founding document and sacred texts. This is written by some creature called Adam Liptak. I don't know who he is, but I can only assume that his ancestors fled the Tsar of Russia or some other area in the Pale of Settlement. They fled specifically so that they would be protected by the U.S. Constitution. And now their subterranean grandson, Adam Liptak, is doing the bidding of the petty dictator by saying the Constitution has seen better days and it's the oldest written national constitution still in force, but its influence is waning. They say that the Constitution is old and that it's time to move on. And they go to certain other subterraneans in the legal profession. They go to professors, don't you know, at various universities who tell us that the Constitution has seen better days. In an interview, somebody by the name of Professor Law, unto itself that's a joke, I don't know who that creature might be, Professor Law identified a central reason for the trend against the U.S. Constitution. And he says the availability of newer, sexier, and more powerful operating systems in the constitutional marketplace. The jerk says nobody wants to copy Windows 3.1, he said, in a television interview. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, allegedly of the U.S. Supreme Court, but really A subterranean from the ACLU said that to the Egyptians, I would not look to the U.S. Constitution if I were drafting a constitution in the year 2012. She recommended instead the Constitution of South Africa. The rights guaranteed by the American Constitution are by international standards, frozen in amber, says one of these left-wing fanatics. As somebody by the name of Sanford Levinson wrote, whoever the heck he might be, another one who no doubt had ancestors who fled the Tsar of Russia, but now that he's awakened to the greatest freedom in the history of the world, Levinson, protected by a tenure system, protected by the Constitution, wrote a paper called Our Undemocratic Constitution. And this creature Levinson wrote, the U.S. Constitution is the most difficult to amend of any constitution or currently existing in the world today. Parenthesis, Yugoslavia used to hold that title, but Yugoslavia did not work out. Then he says, other nations routinely trade in their constitutions wholesale, replacing them on average every 19 years. He says, the Constitution is out of step. I'm going back now to the other subterranean, Adam Liptak, of the allegedly of the New York Times, saying that the U.S. Constitution is out of step with the rest of the world in failing to protect. Listen to this. Here comes the punchline. Boys and girls, please stop. Listen to why they're attacking the Constitution. But the U.S. Constitution, he writes, is out of step with the rest of the world in failing to protect, at least in so many words, a right to travel, the presumption of innocence, and entitlement to food, education, and health care. In other words, because the U.S. Constitution does not guarantee a socialist or communist view of the world, it is therefore useless. They then go on to say that it protects the right to bear arms, and that's no good. It says only 2% of the world's constitutions protect, as the Second Amendment does, a right to bear arms. Do you have any idea what is going on here? Do you have any idea that we have a Leninist, power-mad Leninist in the White House, Barack Obama? He has very powerful friends in the socialist international movement, such as those at the Old York Times, a well-known Stalinist front newspaper going back to the 1930s. It's always been Stalinist. And even on the Supreme Court, they want the Constitution to be rewritten. And so therefore, I have a question I can ask you, but you know what the question's going to be already, so why ask it of you? Why should I ask you a question that's so obvious? You have a Leninist who is creating trickle-down tyranny, the title of a book of mine coming out April 3rd. My birthday's March 31st, by the way. And I'm sure that you're going to want to see a document as to what this tyrant is doing, has done, and wants to do to you. Shall I ask you the question to make it easy for my millions of listeners around the nation and around the world? Is it time to trade in the U.S. Constitution, or are you happy with it? Do you agree with the radical leftists who hate the U.S. Constitution and want to change it to something approximating that of South Africa, that we should throw away the U.S. Constitution because it's set in amber and it's no good anymore? Let's start in New York. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
But listen, Michael, the reason they want the constitutional rights to come from the government. They don't want the rights coming from God. They want to be above God. They want to eliminate God. These are progressive atheists. They've been calling for a rewrite on the Constitution for years now. That worm, Chris Matthews, who claims to be a Catholic, he wants a rewrite of the Constitution.
Chris Matthews was a has-been when he started on MSNBC. He was always a Democrat water carrier. He's a nobody. He's a shill. He's an embarrassment. All he does is front for the General Electric Company, which pays no taxes on the U.S. income. He ought to be ashamed of himself, but a man like that never had any shame. He's a Catholic like my dog's a Catholic.
He works for Pravda. He's an extension of the government. And Justice Ginsburg should step down if she swore to hold.
That's right. Ginsburg should be impeached. But you know what I think of the Republican Party. I imitated them yesterday on every issue that's important to the American people. And it sounded more and more like Beavis and Butthead. If you said to Romney or Gingrich or any of the others, any of them, anything about any of these social issues or essential issues, you know what they go? Constitution, huh? They would sound increasingly like Beavis and Butthead. Oh, you want to change the what? The Constitution? How about, where do you stand on gun control, Mr. Romney? Mr. Romney, where do you stand on homosexual marriage? I'll be right back.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
What we have been able to do is move in the right direction. And what I'm just going to keep on doing is plodding away, very persistent. And you know what? One of the things about being president is you get better as time goes on.
Plodding away. Now, did he say plodding away or plodding away? Very important difference, those two letters. Of course, in his case, we know he means plotting away, because that's what this man does. He plots. He plots away to get rid of the U.S. Constitution so he can have absolute power. And as Lord Acton wrote, power corrupts. Obama has power, and he's corrupt, in my opinion. But he does not yet have absolute power, and so therefore he is not absolutely corrupt. He has not been corrupted absolutely. But he has power, which has corrupted him. There's no question about it. The man is savoring the power that he has. He's the most powerful man in the world. Make no mistake about it. He's now turning the FBI against Rupert Murdoch. He's now turning the Justice Department against Rupert Murdoch. I mean, I don't know whether Murdoch's News Corp did anything worthy of an FBI investigation, but they're going after him because News Corp owns Fox News. Fox News being, I would say, a moderately conservative news outlet, which is what it is, does a very good job. But apparently even that modicum of dissension against this left-wing administration is too much for them. Now, if you want to live in Syria, then you let the government get out of control more so than it already has. I don't understand how you liberals could be arguing to change the U.S. Constitution when you understand better than I do what might happen. Why is it that you want to get rid of the U.S. Constitution? What is it that you want that you don't have? If you have the freedom to do virtually anything you want, for example, today, your friends in the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiel's in San Francisco, as you well know, they're just left-wing lawyers who got on black robes, took the will of hundreds of thousands of people who said no to gay marriage in California and basically threw it in the garbage. They said that we, in the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiel's, have more power than all the people of the state of California put together. The hell with you. We have the power to throw out your vote, and we just did so. So why do you want to get rid of the Constitution? What is this? Why would a liberal, why would a true liberal want to get rid of the U.S. Constitution? I could see a fanatic progressive, meaning a communist, wanting to get rid of the Constitution because they hate the people and fear the people. But I don't understand how a true liberal would want to dismiss the greatest instrument in the history of the world. Why? Florida, Tony, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. The Constitution should never be unwritten or anything like that. It's one of the greatest documents in the world since the Bible. Anybody who wants to rewrite it should be arrested for treason. Our Second Amendment right is put there to protect us from our government. And
well, why
no
do you think Obama? Why do you think Obama wants to get rid of the Constitution?
So he can.
Why does Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a far left snake, a snake of the lowest order, worked for the ACLU as chief counsel, sitting on the Supreme Court? That's not good enough for that witch. Now she wants to throw out the U.S. Constitution. How come she's not being impeached by the Republicans?
Well, they all should be arrested for treason.
Arrested by who?
By the people of the country, the United States of America.
Well, the people. There's no organized people in this country. We're nothing.
Well,
we're nothing but a disorganized group of disenfranchised citizens is what we are. There's no cohesive people anymore. We're supposed to have an opposition party, but as you well know, they have committed Harry Caray in front of our eyes. Waco, Texas. Mike, welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. Those visionaries are, our founding fathers were visionaries for writing the document that protects us from just the attacks we're having now. And I believe our military can step up because they all swore an oath to protect the Constitution from foreign and domestic enemies. And I think Justice Ginsburg and
But hold on, but Mike, listen, I want you to see how clever Obama is and how he has plotted this so carefully. On New Year's Eve, what did Obama do while America was getting drunk and stoned? He wrote into the Defense Authorization Act the right for the U.S. military to arrest any citizen without cause All they've got to do is say you're involved in terrorism. So instead of looking to the military to rescue us from a tyrannical regime or a would-be tyrannical regime, what you now have is a purged military looking to the citizenry to arrest anyone who might stand up to this tyrannical regime. We are a few steps away from descending into that of Syria. If this keeps up, we are a few steps away from falling into the chaos that has engulfed the Arab winter. That's what's going on in this country. That's how dangerous this is. But where are the dumb Republicans? These are the most momentous days in the history of the Republic. And all we have is that fat lobbyist ripping apart Romney, the corporate front man. And so who do we rely upon? You're going to tell me I'm supposed to throw my weight behind the neuron deficient Ron Paul, the lunatic who doesn't understand that he's a new version of the isolationist of the 1930s? I mean, he may as well have been related to Charles Lindbergh. Sacramento, Matt, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, the Constitution's already been ignored blatantly. I know it's a big hot-button issue, but the eligibility issue is one big reason why that is. And the Republicans are just as guilty. This is where you see people like, as you call him, Pawn Vanity, trying to pass off Marco Rubio, that anchor baby, as an eligible VP, and that's a big joke.
But why is Vanity so in love with Marco Rubio? What has Rubio done that makes him such a great candidate? Doesn't he understand that this guy has nothing to offer anybody?
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LipsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, as you well know, is the laughingstock of federal courts. It's the most fanatically Leninist of all. It's based in San Francisco with little mini dictators in black robes. And they said to the people of the state of California today, drop dead. We don't care what you did through a referendum. We're going to legitimize gay marriage, and the will of the people be damned. So it's now going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we're going to find out whether the U.S. Supreme Court will rule that marriage is a fundamental right protected by the Due Process Clause in the 14th Amendment. We'll find that out I don't think it'll be very soon. So here we are sitting in the midst of a power grab unlike any, I would say, since FDR, who was a power-mad individual as well. One of the role models of the Obamaites is FDR, as you well know. I spent a lot of time in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, describing to you how FDR was beaten with regard to one of his desires to take over an industry by four kosher Jewish kosher butchers in Brooklyn who he had put in jail for the sale of certain kind of chickens and whatnot. They said, no, you can't tell us what to do because we're protected by our religious beliefs. FDR said, no, you have to comply with the federal law. He put them in jail. They came out. They sued the government, and they won. And it's the same situation with Obamacare, which is totally unconstitutional. So the administration uses the Constitution whenever it suits them and then basically tears up the Constitution when they want to push forward part of their radical liberal agenda. That's the way it is. The Ninth Circuit is the most leftist and most overturned court in the country by the U.S. Supreme Court. Legislation to recall judges by referendum must be passed immediately. This triumvirate in these courts, they're like a triumvirate in a dictatorship. They no longer have equal powers. They have absolute power. The powers of this country have gone disproportionately towards the judicial to the detriment of the people. And I believe that the people need to reassert their powers. Now, of course, I'm only a talk show host. The fact of the matter is we're supposed to have an opposition party called the Republicans that would help us when we are outraged by any such situation or by a president who wants to usurp the Constitution. But they're nowhere. All they're doing is out on the stump giving us stump speeches. And that's why we've lost interest, frankly, in the campaign already. If you want to talk about any of this, you can. By the way, I want to talk about marriage for another moment. This is very interesting about a state sanctioning marriage and what it means. It's a very important question. Should a state sanction marriage to begin with? Any marriage. When I got married, which was quite a few decades ago, Do you know that in New York City in those days, we had to take a blood test to make certain? It was called a Wasserman test. Realize how primitive our society was? They wanted to make certain that people with syphilis couldn't get married and have children. Can you imagine how Neanderthalic our society was, that they wanted to prevent people with diseases from marrying? New York, WOR, Robert, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I think you might want to rethink your statement before about getting rid of Ruth Ginsburg from the court right now, because if we get rid of her, then Obama's going to put a much younger, even more radical person on the court, and it'll take years before we get that person off the court.
Well, first of all, what I want has no bearing whatsoever. As you well know, the Republicans are never going to move to impeach Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Okay, God will have to impeach her first.
But I just think right now, I think we need to let the next president, hopefully not Obama, put somebody who's more conservative and is going to uphold the Constitution and not look for...
Well, you know, you raise an interesting question, because Obama has, what month is this, February, let us say, 10 months left in this term. If Ruth Bader Ginsburg were to retire for health reasons, he could appoint anyone he wants, couldn't he?
Absolutely.
Well, that's what he's going to do. I would say, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, I would say that there's a high likelihood that one of these left-wing fanatics who are 80 years old or more will retire and self-sacrifice in order to make certain that there's a liberal for the next 40 years on the bench. You've just raised a very interesting point. I really didn't think that far ahead. You're more far-thinking than I am in that regard. Thank you for alerting me to that, because that's a high possibility, that she throws herself out for health reasons, and he then gets to appoint one of the fanatics from one of the worst law schools in America, as he has done a few times now. Some of the most unqualified people in the history of the law profession are now on the Supreme Court. Are you telling me that Sotomayor is so brilliant as a legal scholar that she deserved an appointment to the highest court in the land? Are you telling me that? Do you actually believe that Kagan is so brilliant as a legal scholar she belongs on the U.S. Supreme Court? You must be joking. Okay, well, I think we move on, because this is not a topic that I would have been interested in high school. And I have to remember that whenever a civics teacher brought up the U.S. Constitution, I looked at the girl's ponytail in front of me at the desk, because I went to sleep. Or I continued to etch with a compass into the wooden desks in New York City and then kind of do a tattoo on the wood in order to keep from going insane and tattooing my own hand with a compass and cutting my wrists. So, therefore, let's move on to some other topics on the Savage Nation that might be more interesting. I can't tell you. I know the audience so well, and I know people's minds so well. I can tell you when you're not interested in something. This is not, you know, look at Super Bowl, right? I mean, aren't they in New York celebrating with a big parade today? Not for the Iraq war vets, but of course for our sports figures. Now, here's a story for the average man. Has Giselle become most hated woman in Boston? Patriots fans lash out at Tom Brady's supermodel wife after she blames receivers for Super Bowl loss. Now, there's a topic that anyone listening to the show can relate to. Now, here's another one. Obama invested $500 million in a loan from the so-called Department of Energy, which is nothing but a slush fund for donors. So the DOE gives $500 million to a group of so-called businessmen, most of whom are tied directly to the Democrat machine, to create a car called Fisker Automotive. And today, the automotive group called Fisker announces layoffs as it tries to renegotiate a $500 million loan from the Department of Energy. So you, the taxpayer, are getting stiffed now for another $500 million from another black hole called another automobile company that Obama funded. How could this be going on? Well, it's going on. That's how it goes on. It's an electric car maker that received a $500 million loan from the federal government. Now today it said it laid off workers in Delaware and California. And they're going to basically try to renegotiate its loan agreement with the so-called Department of Energy, which is, as you well know, it's a slush fund. Fisker has received $193 million from the $529 million DOE loan, mostly for work on the car called the Karma. Isn't that cute? Which sells for $100,000. The Karma is a $100,000 electric car and nobody wants it. And so they're laying people off, and they want to renegotiate their loan. Now, if you looked at where the money went so far, how much of it do you think actually went into, percentage-wise, producing this car? How much of it went into the pockets of the administrators? And how much of it got kicked back to Democrat politicians who pushed for the loan? Don't have the answer. None whatsoever. So I'm just giving you a little news along the way. What is the big news out there? There's lots of big news, but most people are a little stupefied by the power grab by the Obama administration. The gay marriage battle has taken a new turn today in California, a proposition that was voted in by the majority, 52% of the voters, was thrown away by a few tyrants in black robes. They took it away and took away the rights of the people and threw it in the garbage, catering again to their constituency. It'll now go to the Supreme Court. Dodgers signed Kershaw to a two-year, $19 million deal. Four Yahoo board members to leave. Romney downplays expectations for today's votes. Arrest made in Fast and Furious gun scandal. Let's see what else. I don't know what else. Charles Dickens' 200th birthday celebrated. How's that? Does that interest you? Oh, that's a sure show killer. Show killer. Now, if I talked about some degenerate hip-hop artist from England giving the world a middle finger, then you'd be interested because you know who she is. But if I say Charles Dickens, you go to sleep. I'll be right back.
Savage. Home of borders, language, culture. The Savage Nation.
A savage republic inside the plot to destroy America lays out the threats we face, prepare you for what's next, and offer solutions to save our republic. Please wake up and fight back before it is too late. You can buy it right now on Amazon or on BarnesandNoble.com. A Savage Republic, Inside the Plot to Destroy America by Michael Savage. Thank you for listening. Share it with five others.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Welcome, 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 welcome. How are you? How are you? How are you? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I'm just exercising my vocal cords to make certain that you're still listening to the Savage Nation. I realize that you're hungover from the Super Bowl 48 hours, 72 hours later, but we're talking about some important topics, so let's go to the callers, Houston, Texas. Anthony, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mr. Savage, your last segment you mentioned that you think Sotomayor was a terrible nomination for the Supreme Court, and I just wanted to dispute that because she's actually, the only one on the Supreme Court right now who's had previous experience as a judge.
So let me ask you this. What has she written in the world of the law that we should know about, we non-lawyers, that would distinguish her?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily what she's written. I think it's just simply the fact that she has actually ruled in cases.
Wait a minute. How in the world can you be put on the Supreme Court if you have no history as a brilliant legal scholar? Why would you be put on a court other than to push an agenda left or right? Now, she was put on to push the left-wing agenda, obviously, but what has she done legally that would distinguish her?
Yeah, you know, I can't actually say what she has done legally to distinguish her, but she has.
So in other words, because she's a woman, that qualifies her?
No, what qualifies her is the fact that she's sat on a bench before. She'd been a judge.
Oh, she sat on a bench. Okay, so how did she get that bench appointment? Based on what legal writings?
I would assume
she was pushed forward based on affirmative action from the day she graduated law school. Every position she had was based upon her, the fact that she was a woman and that she was an ethnic minority. So she was selected all along the way because of that, and now we have her on the Supreme Court. The point is she was not qualified for her first judgeship.
Well, if that's the case, why didn't they just choose some other Hispanic woman to sit on the bench?
It didn't why would it have to be a Hispanic woman? Why couldn't it be a white male?
Well, why does it have to be a white male?
Well, why couldn't they choose the person with the most brilliant legal mind?
I don't think it's necessarily about choosing the most brilliant legal mind. It's about choosing who is going to, uphold the values of the Constitution.
Wait a minute. You're going all over the map. What do you mean it's not about the most brilliant legal mind? You mean you want an ambulance chaser put on the Supreme Court because they fill a quota?
No. What I'm saying is I think what constitutes what is good for a judge is someone who upholds values of the Constitution, not necessarily someone who knows every single law that's out there. It's people who...
Well, we didn't ask you to cite the fact that she knows every single law, but generally Supreme Court justices are known for their legal minds, not because they fill a quota system. But, I mean, I can tell by your voice that you're fairly young. Do you know of any Supreme Court justices in history who were known as brilliant jurists for any of their legal writings, for example?
No, personally, I do not.
Are you in the legal profession yourself?
No, I am not in the legal profession myself.
All right. So you if you were to investigate this, you would hear names such as Felix Frankfurter. You can laugh at the name, but he was a brilliant writer on legal issues. And some of the things he wrote stand to this day. Oliver Wendell Holmes, if you go way back in history, wrote things that are still quoted today. Does that help you with where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I think I can see that a little
bit. So if you were to Google, and I don't know if this would work, but given my background in science, I can pretty much search very quickly on any topic because I know how to load a topic. And the algorithms come out every time I search immediately on the first search. If you were to throw a search up that says greatest Supreme Court justices in history, you'll see some names immediately that would pop up, and you'll see why I'm trying to tell you it does matter who was put on the Supreme Court, just as who is made president matters. You can't just say a guy should become president because he should fill a certain quota, would you? You wouldn't say that.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so would you say a president should above all defend the U.S. Constitution?
Yes. Yeah, that is...
So how do you feel about Obama saying the Constitution is antiquated and he can't force his will upon Congress?
Oh, yeah, I completely disagree with that. I mean, Constitution's supposed to be...
All right, well, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, where your head is at. I'm glad that we agree on something, but I think what I'm trying to say to you is I would not care who the Supreme Court justice was. I wouldn't care if they were gay, a lesbian. I wouldn't care what their ethnicity is. All I would care about is that they have such a brilliant legal mind and they're so neutral that I would go to sleep at night knowing that we're not going to be led down the road and become a banana republic by them. That's where I'm coming from. That's all. In fact, I'm going to do the search during the next break. I got to take my dog out from the radio studio and such. What do you want to talk about in the next hour? This is too heady, I think, for the average, right? And there must be something fun. Cars, boats, planes. How about private jets? You want to talk about your favorite private jet that you've heard about? Which one would you like to be on, or what's your favorite car? So we're talking about electric cars that no one wants to drive. What is like 300-400 volts sold? And Clint Eastwood said that America's at halftime because of Obama, because of TARP, Chrysler. I mean, I don't know who doesn't love Clint Eastwood's work. I do. I've always been a fan of Clint Eastwood. He won't come on the show. He's not obligated to go on any particular show. But when he's used as a tool of the Obama administration, as we all fear he was, I have an obligation to say something about it. So there's a little article about it now that was written by the good people at WorldNet Daily on MichaelSavage.com. And the headline is, Michael Savage says Clint Eastwood was wrong. I'm actually proud of the fact that I said that. Michael Savage is a big fan of Eastwood. But when the legendary actor appeared in a Super Bowl ad that held up the government's bailout of Chrysler as a pillar on which to build the country's economic recovery, the talk radio giant called a foul. Eastwood's much-discussed commercial, It's Halftime America, strikes a somber tone, noting people are out of work, but pointing to the aftermath of the $12.5 billion bailout of the auto giant Sinho. And then Eastwood says certain things. But Savage told his listeners that while most Americans believe that Chrysler repaid the loan, if you read the fine print, Chrysler ran off with $1.3 billion. It was astonishing for a man who allegedly is somewhat conservative to be talking about bailing out the auto industry, Savage said of Eastwood. Savage traced the $12.5 billion that the Treasury Department gave Chrysler in 2009. Last year, the Italian automaker Fiat bought the government 6% stake in Chrysler, which closed the books on the Fed's involvement. In the end, U.S. taxpayers were out $1.3 billion. So, I mean, I do my homework. I mean, you could have an opinion, but if you want to do your homework, you come up with the true opinion, an opinion based on facts. Let's put it to you that way. So that's the story. The Savage Nation airs live across America on over 300 stations, including the one you are listening to. So if you'd like to call in on any these or any of the other topics, we have an open line, especially for Clint Eastwood.
Savage.
Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.